More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, Lean on Me. Is someone you care about going through a hard time? Not sure what to do? We'll help you help them without burning out. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Lean on Me. We're talking about helping the people we care about who really need help, but maybe our efforts aren't working out the way we'd like. Maybe our efforts are making things worse. Maybe it's just burning us out. Whatever the situation is, we want to help you help them without burning out. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
So is someone you care about going through a hard time and you're not sure how to help? Have the things that you've tried to do in the past not done much good or actually made things worse? Do you feel guilty saying no to someone who's struggling or setting boundaries with them, even when you know in your gut that saying yes isn't good for either of you? Are you supporting someone through addiction, mental illness, grief, a chronic situation that never seems to get better, and you don't know where to keep holding on or start stepping back? Have your efforts to be there for someone you care about begun to take a toll on you or on your relationship with them? Let us help you find ways to help the people that you love that are actually helpful.
877-573-7825. Let's talk it out. Because let's face it, it's not easy to know the best way to help people. And we'll talk about some of the major pitfalls involved in helping others in just a moment. But, you know, I'm a professional helper, right? But it's still hard to know when somebody you love is going through a hard time. You want to be there for them, but knowing the right way to be there for them that actually produces results instead of just leaving them stuck or burning you out is still hard.
And, you know, we as we talk about this today, I mentioned a lot of things that, you know, were kind of heavier, like grief or mental illness or addiction. But this is hard in our everyday lives with people who just maybe are moving from one stage to another. You know, your high school student who's about to go out and get a job or go to college. Your college student who's struggling with the huge changes year after year in that situation and it's coming to you feeling anxiety-ridden or scared or not knowing what to do. Your older parents who are moving from one stage of their lives into another, who want your help, need your help, maybe don't want to change anything, or maybe resent you, and you're not sure where that line should be because they're still your parents and you want to respect them and you want to love them. But you know, if you take everything over, it's not going to go so well. There are so many times in life when somebody needs some kind of help from us and we just struggle with, Lord, what do you want me to do here? Everything? Something? Nothing? And let them stand on their own 2 feet? Well, we're here to help you discern all of that today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And again, the show is titled Lean on Me, as we talk about trying to help the people that we care about who might be going through a hard time, whether that's a serious hard time or just a more run-of-the-mill, regular hard time, we still want to be there for them. And it's hard to sometimes know how to do that without burning out ourselves, without making the situation worse. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. You know, and it's a fair question to ask, you know, how could some theology possibly help me know how to help other people? Fact is, it actually helps a lot, because St. John Paul asked a huge question when he was Pope. He said, basically, you know, if we took everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, all the rest, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for leading a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became what we now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that love isn't just about doing what makes people feel better in the moment. It's a commitment to doing whatever we reasonably can to help someone be their best. And that sounds simple. But it can get so complicated when someone we care about is really hurting, because we tend to focus more on what we need to do to reduce the tension in the moment rather than working for their ultimate good.
You know, we see someone struggling and we tend to shift into fix-it mode. We take the responsibility off their shoulders. We soften every consequence. We say yes to things that real love would probably ask us to say no to. And we don't do it because we're selfish, but because we can't stand watching someone we love suffer. Now, the clinical word for that is enabling. But what it really means is that we're confused about, well, excuse me, we confuse making someone comfortable with actually loving them.
Yeah, and we mean well. We really do. And we think we're getting, you know, all of our marching orders from Scripture. But enabling isn't healthy for us or the person we're trying to help. So we tend to burn out or get resentful, and that makes the situation worse. If we bring those feelings to God, he'll remind us that there's a better way to intervene when someone we care about is struggling.
Yeah, you know, St. John Paul taught that we need to love responsibly. And that requires us to do three things. First, we remember that our mission isn't to fix the immediate problem or bring down the tension in the moment, but to do what we need to do to invite the other person to be their best self. Second, it means prayerfully reflecting on the fruit that our effort is bearing. You know, is it actually making positive differences in what we're trying to do here, or is it just keeping everything the same? And third, we need to make sure that we're not working harder on someone else's problems than they are, because that robs them of the opportunity to learn from their experience. The best way to make sure that we're loving responsibly is to keep asking God, how do you want me to work for their good, given everything that I'm seeing? Let the answer to that prayer, not our guilt or sentiment or panic or fear, guide what to do next.
And I think it's also very important to be asking God, how do you want me to take care of myself in the midst of this and the other people that are relying on me? So I know there was a time in our family where one of our family members was taking care of an elderly parent and became so engrossed in it that the needs of the spouse and the children in the situation went by the wayside for years, and everybody in the situation suffered because of it. So we have to balance, as we're saying here, what God wants us to do for ourselves, for those in our immediate care, for our jobs, and helping someone who needs our help and being Christ-like to them. It can get complicated and exhausting, so let us help you out today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Show's titled Lean on Me. We're talking about helping the people we care about. You know, is someone you love going through a rough time? Not sure what to do? We want to help you help them without burning out in the process. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. You can also email us questions at moretoliferadio.com. All right, let's take our concerns to the Lord. And we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we ask for your grace and wisdom to know how to be loving and helpful to those who need our help. We ask you, Lord, to remember your servant St. John Paul's call to love responsibly, to not just do what takes down the tension in the moment, that gets the other person off of our back, or seems like it makes them feel better right now, but help us to remember to do or say what actually brings out the best in them, or challenges them to be their best in the face of the challenges they're experiencing. Help us to know where to draw the lines so that we don't rob people of the opportunity to learn from their experience. Help us to expect to work hard to help others, but not harder than they are on their issues, so that we don't enable people in our attempts to love them. And help us to know how to respond when in those times when we're feeling frustrated or burned out, so that we can refocus our efforts on those things that enable us to be helpful in ways that are truly helpful for them and healthy for us. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name
and
of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show's titled Lean on Me, as we talk about helping the people we care about who are going through tough times. You know, is someone you care about going through a hard time and you're not sure what to do? You know, maybe things you've tried to do in the past haven't done much good or made things worse. Maybe you feel guilty saying no to someone who's struggling or setting boundaries with them, even when you know in your gut that saying yes isn't good for either of you. Are you supporting someone through tough problems and they're just not, they're not responding to the things you're trying to do to help them? Maybe your efforts to be there are starting to take a toll on you and your relationships. Let us help you find ways to help the people you love that are actually, well, helpful. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kim, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Alabama.
Hi, Kim. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, yes. You were discussing how to... Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
We can.
We're talking about...
Go ahead, Kim. We can hear you. What's your question?
I'm sorry. Right. And I got the speaker on here.
That's okay. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Thank you. You were discussing how to help folks, but not enable... We have our 25-year-old daughter who had been out of our life for a few years, came back in August under suicide watch. She has mental illness. She's living with us. We've been in treatment. It's been a long process. She was uninsured, so needless to say, we have put out a lot of money to get her treatment, residential treatment. Outpatient treatment. She's still in treatment, but now she's seems to be going off the rails. We thought we were doing okay. We thought things were getting better. We're just kind of not sure where to go from here.
Okay, so in terms of what kind of specific help we can give you? Is there a particular situation that you're looking for guidance on, or how can we support you today?
Yeah, you were mentioning how to love them but not enable them. We've been very supportive. We've picked up all of her debt that she had incurred. We're allowing her as much freedom as we can. She's driving one of our vehicles. She's just pushing back now, and she just wants.
When you say going off the rails, though, like what is she doing that's being irresponsible or not cooperating with her treatment?
Just everything. She wants to move out now. She's not financially able to move out. She's just very impulsive.
Mm-hmm. Is she taking her medication? Is she continuing to go to therapy? Is she doing the things?
She is. She's doing outpatient therapy 3 days a week for 3 hours each day. We're still, they're still trying out medications and. She got a different diagnosis this last time she was hospitalized from when she was hospitalized in August. so we're not really sure.
There's a lot going on, but you said that we were in treatment. Did you mean that your whole family is getting counseling or just her?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. She is. She's not wanted to really do family therapy much. We did a few while she was in residential treatment via phone.
Yeah.
Like I said, it seemed like things were going better, and now not so much. And we knew this was going to be a roller coaster ride, but...
Yeah. All right, well, let me throw in a couple of thoughts here. So, you know, and you're right, it is going to be a roller coaster. The key here is that you have to be consistent with what your boundaries are. And your line has to be, you know, we can support you as long as you are doing healthy things, making healthy choices, and participating actively in your treatment. We can't support anything you do that, you know, isn't healthy or isn't responsible or isn't cooperating with your treatment, right? So, you know, you can use our car, you can use you can have some freedoms, you can get our support, as long as you are not just showing up for appointments, but actually doing what your counselors are saying to do. You're taking your medications, you're following through on recommendations. I would also say, Kim, that I would insist that you need to be part of her treatment in some way, at least, you know, once a week or once every couple of weeks, because whether she wants to or not, I think that's an okay condition of you being able to provide that support for her, because you need to know how best to support her. You need to have a way to address concerns with her directly that can be mediated by, you know, a professional who can kind of stand in your corner and either challenge you or support you in front of her, so that it's not just you and her fighting it out, but rather there's somebody there who really is able to, like I said, mediate some of that stuff. So I think it's okay to insist that you're part of that. And the way, you know, to pitch it to her, and again, you're not asking permission for this, but you can pitch it to her by saying, look, we want to know how best to support you. And you're saying, you're pushing back and saying you want more freedom. We don't know what's really in your best interest. So it would behoove us to be part of your treatment so we could talk to your counselor and figure this out together. That said, you that's the carrot. The stick is, you know, we can't support anything we don't believe in is in your best interest. And so if you are doing unhealthy things or things that we believe are unhealthy, we would have to pull back support for you. And we don't want to do that. So, you know, we need to be part of this treatment. So, but again, the rule of thumb in general is, you know, you can be supportive as long as she's working 100% on her recovery. If you start seeing her backsliding, you jump in right away with, okay, look, now we're going to have to start pulling back on certain things. You know, we can't support this. We can't give you that. We can't give you access to these freedoms that we've given you whenever you are doing these things that are healthy and appropriate and supportive of your treatment. And it's a very short leash. And she won't like it, and that's okay. But by keeping your expectations and boundaries very clear, you're creating a structure that she has to operate within. You know, and that structure is going to help to keep her healthy. And again, that's why I think it's really important for you to be involved in her treatment, even though she's not crazy about it, because you need to know what that structure should look like. And the best way to figure that out is by working with her team to come up with an actual plan that you're all in agreement on. So it's not just she goes to therapy and then you're on the outside, even though you're basically providing her whole life and the whole structure around her. You are part of the treatment plan, but you're not part of the treatment team. And so that ends up, you know, having you guys working at cross purposes. So I think it's important to insist that you be part of that. I hope that these suggestions will get you started, Kim. If there's more that you have, other questions you've got once you had a chance to sit with this. In fact, I'd even recommend you downloading the podcast of More to Life, play it for your daughter. And really let that be a springboard for the conversation that you all need to have about how to move forward with this. And then once you've had a chance to talk it out, call us back and let us know how it's going and if you have any other questions. But thank you so much for the call. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. The show today titled Lean On Me, as we talk about those times we're trying to help someone we care about, but we're not quite sure what to do. Or maybe our efforts aren't working out the way we wanted to. Or even making things worse. We're causing us to burn out in the process. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Let us help you help them in ways that are actually helpful. More to Life will continue with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Jacob Flores Popchak. He's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's going to be sharing three questions that he asks his clients to make sure that their help is helpful when they're trying to help people they care about. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Well, you'll have a new appreciation for your calm son. You've got him back to yourself.
It was good to have.
That's good.
Okay. So it's... All right.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Lean on Me. As we talk about those times we're trying to help someone we care about, but we're not quite sure what to do or the things we're doing aren't working the way we planned them. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's also an expert on the practical applications of the theology of the body and a published author and illustrator. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You were sharing over the break that there are three questions that you put to your clients who are struggling to know how to help the people that they love. Where do we start?
Yeah, I think it's important to, you know, our faith gives us a great sort of construction when it comes to self-reflection in the form of examinations of conscience, right? Mm-hmm. Questions that we should be asking ourselves to promote self-awareness and to help us avoid the pitfalls and blind spots that we as human beings so often are likely to fall into. And I think kind of a mini examination of conscience, if you will, regarding our motivations and our goals. When we're trying to help out somebody or address some behavior of concern or be of assistance to somebody, I think, you know, some simple questions in that same regard would be similarly helpful. The first question that I always recommend my clients ask and that I try to ask myself as well is, am I doing this to feel better about me? Or am I doing this for the person's sake? I think even if we just ask this question, that is often enough. We could just stop there because this really gets to the heart of addressing my motivations for a thing. You know, I'll talk to clients who say, well, I want to give this person this gift. Well, why do you want to give them that gift? Well, because that's just something that I do to celebrate people. Okay, well, then you're giving that gift for you, not for them, right? I don't want to stand up to this person because they might be mad at me. Well, why not? Well, because I just hate when they get mad at me. Okay, so you're doing this to feel better about you, not for them, because you don't want to feel the feelings that you associate with someone being mad at you. I could give 100 more examples, right? We need to be able to make sure that our motivations are as pure as possible. Now, look, you know, I'm not a Gnostic. I know that we're never going to be, quote unquote, completely pure. I'm always going to have some selfish motivations for something, for everything, I guess I should say. But to at least make myself aware of what those are first, allows me to sort of get past them a little bit more than if they were operating in the background unbeknownst to me. Identifying those.
Now, we've got about 2 minutes, and you said there were two other questions as well?
Yeah. I was going to move on to the question, I think, that naturally pivots off from that is, can I be at peace with myself even if this person ends up mad at me, right? So really building on that idea of, from the last question, of making sure this isn't just to make myself feel better. You know, can I consider myself a success if I do it in such and such a way, right? Can I consider myself a success if I'm able to remain calm, for instance? Or can I consider myself a success if I'm able to be respectful? Or can I consider myself a success if I'm able to enunciate a point clearly, even if they're not happy with me about it? Asking myself that question, again, helps me to kind of adjust my expectations so that my goal becomes my own virtue, not just getting a positive reaction from the person. That said, I do want to juxtapose that against my third question that I always ask, which is, am I talking to them with the love and dignity deserving of a child of God, right? The first two questions in which I address, you know, my own motivations and in which I make it okay to have someone be frustrated with me are not a carte blanche license to speak however I want to and say, well, if they're mad at me, it's just because they can't handle the truth, right? I am, as a Christian, still obliged to ask myself this third question. Am I talking to them with all of the love and the dignity deserving of a child of God? If I am, if I'm taking their dignity into account and really trying to communicate to them with love, and I can consider myself a success of virtue even if they're mad at me, and I'm clear on what my motivations are, I got a pretty good chance of success.
Jacob, thanks so much for that framework. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to go to CatholicCounselors.com. where they can get all the support they need to find faithful ways to respond to these challenges and be helpful in ways that are actually helpful. 877-573.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
Let us strive to know the Lord. Quick question to you and me right now. Is that what you and I are doing every single day? When you and I wake up every day, do we strive to know Jesus or not? In the Old Testament, in the same book of Hosea, a little bit later on, it's in chapter 14, the Lord says through the prophet, my people perish. Or in another translation, my people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Not a lack of data. We got tons of data. Not a lack of information. We got a lot of information. Not just about things that are happening in the world. We got a lot of data, a lot of knowledge, a lot of information about God, but not a lot of intimacy with God, not a lot of relationship with God, not a lot of friendship. That's the cry of God's heart. God wants to give himself to us in the incredible gift of friendship, and we're not taking advantage of it.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Ever wonder why your best intentions to stay calm this time seem to evaporate the second an argument gets going? Well, it's not a willpower problem. It's a biology problem. When we're in conflict with somebody, stress hormones flood our bloodstream. If we're not careful, that can cause our brain's problem-solving ability to literally shut down. And at that point, we stop problem-solving and start reacting to the other person as a threat. And any chance of solving the problem goes away. That's why in God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, I tell people the secret to winning every argument is catching ourselves early, at the first sign of tension, not after we're already seeing red. Learning to catch those early signs that our brain is getting overheated, and doing little things like taking a breath, asking God to help us stay focused on solutions rather than reacting, slowing down how quickly we're talking so our brain can keep up, and similar strategies can keep a conversation on track and prevent it from becoming a fight that leaves everyone feeling worse. For more tips on keeping your cool and turning conflict into connection, see my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Lean on Me. We're talking about helping people we care about in ways that are actually helpful and healthy for us. 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next caller, we want to celebrate another EWTN radio affiliate, WJMJ, with two stations serving Hartford, Connecticut, on their HD channels in English and Spanish for 8 years.
Congratulations to Steve Savino and his team at WMJM. Excuse me, the other way around. WJMJ. Excuse me. From all your friends here at EWTN Radio. And folks, wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN Radio station with your prayers and with your dollars. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you, living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. Again, thanks to Steve Savino. Congratulations for all your good work over these 8 years to bring Catholic Radio to Hartford, Connecticut. With that, we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. The show today titled Lean on Me. Is someone you care about going through a hard time? Not sure what to do? We want to help you help them in healthy ways for you. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Joyce, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Joyce, welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I'm calling about my adult son. He is, he was married and divorced and remarried. They have, you know, his, mine, and ours situation, but his two daughters from his first marriage, they're both teenagers, and he has anger issues, how he handles things, and he keeps alienating them, and, you know, he may be right as a father that it's a moment of correction, but the way he handles it is out of line and inappropriate, but I don't know. He's not come to me, but I don't know if I have any place in trying to help him. I want a place, but I don't also don't want to, you know, overstep my boundaries.
When you say overstep your boundaries, what would that look like to you?
I mean, if I just approached him out of the blue about it, he might shut me down immediately, thinking that I'm trying to correct him, and I'm not. I'm trying to say, hey, I really care about you, and I care about the girls, and I care about your future relationship, and you're not going to have one if you don't, something doesn't give here, you know. But I don't know if he would be open to that if he doesn't if he isn't the one who initiates that conversation. I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying.
Shutting me down immediately, you know.
Yeah, no, and generally speaking, you know, it is better to wait for someone to bring something up before you address an issue. But where children are concerned, sometimes it they need someone to advocate for them. And so, you know, this is kind of one of those times where whether he wants to hear it or not, he needs to hear it from somebody who loves him. And so I would go to him and I would say, look, I know you're, you know, this is not, I would normally wait for you to come to me about something like this. And I'm sorry to bring this up, but I see your kid suffering and it breaks my heart. And you need to hear this. You know, I know that they do things that upset you or that frustrate you, and you have a right to address those things. Right. So you're validating his concern. Right. But the way you address those things is making the problems worse and it's breaking their hearts. And I need you to get help to figure out how to handle it better. Now, he's not going to like to hear that. Right. He's going to get mad at you for that. You're going to need to double down on it. Right. So if you go in, you can't back off. It's you know, I'm sorry you're angry. I understand you don't want to hear it. but you need to hear this because your children are suffering.
And not only are you alienating them, but you're not actually teaching them the skills that you want them to learn when you get angry for the behaviors that you're seeing. So you're not getting the success that you want because of the way you go about it, and it's also alienating the kids, so it's damaging your relationship. And you need to look at this as a teaching process rather than just giving into your feelings in the moment.
Now, again, he's going to get upset with you for that, and that's okay. You know, we can't be worried about upsetting people. You know, we have to worry about, you know, am I saying this in a way that is charitable, that is correct, that is working for their ultimate good? If they don't want to receive that, that's fine. But you don't back down if he gets mad at you for this. It's, look, I understand it's hard to hear this. I understand you're frustrated and you're angry at me. You be as angry at me as you want, but the way you're treating your kids is wrong. And I love you. I'm your mother. I deserve to have your respect, and I'm telling you this because I love you and I love my grandkids, and I trust that you love your kids too, so you need to get your stuff together. And you just need to be that strong about it, because again, you know, if this was just his problem, giving him a little more space to fight with it, to wrestle with it, to struggle with it would be the appropriate thing to do. But when kids are involved, or really when other people are involved, when someone's hurting other people, they need another person to advocate for them, because as far as he's concerned, he doesn't have a problem. It's his kids are the problem,
right?
And he's angry because he's the victim.
And when he just lets all that anger out, he feels a little bit better because he's offloaded this. But as you are very wisely seeing, Joyce, it's damaging his relationship with his children. And they're not really getting the skills, the kind of guided parenting that they really need from him. So it is doing damage in the moment and in the long run. And I think that, you know, to use kind of a strangled metaphor, if he was bumping around and smashing into things in your living room because he wouldn't go to the eye doctor and get glasses and he just couldn't see right, you'd make him go to the doctor and get his glasses so he can see right, so he could drive, so he can walk around a room without knocking over a vase. But when somebody can't see, I mean, I literally remember getting one of our kids' glasses once, and they're like, I don't need glasses. I'm sure I don't need glasses. And then the doctor put the lenses on their eyes, and they were like, wow, I didn't even realize I couldn't see. This is the emotional equivalent of that. You're working for his good and the good of your grandchildren. And that is a very important thing to be able to do. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the courage and the fortitude to tough it through what you really need to be doing in this situation.
And recognize that when he gets mad at you for saying something, that doesn't mean that you did anything wrong.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean, and it especially means you don't back down. You let him have his feelings. He can be as mad as he wants to be. But you just keep saying, I understand that you're upset. You can empathize with it, but then redirect him back to the solution. I understand you're upset, but getting upset does not solve this problem. You have a right to be upset about the things that they did, but you don't have a right to correct them or address them the way you are because you're pushing them away, and you need to get some help to figure out how to handle it better. And I love you too much to let this continue, and I love my grandkids too much to let this continue too. I'm happy to help in whatever way I can, but you need to get help with this.
And you stay calm the whole time. So you may want to rehearse what you need to say to him several times, maybe even in the bathroom mirror, so that you have the muscle memory to stick with that message. Because, you know, all of us, if somebody gets mad at us, if they're yelling at us, if we're afraid they're going to back out of the relationship if we say an important truth, we get flustered. We either start to cower in the sound of our voice or the effectiveness of our message, or we start to retaliate by getting just as angry and loud, and then we're not a good witness to what, in this particular case, you're trying to teach your son. So really rehearse it and know that his reaction is not about you. It's just saying exactly what you're telling him and how important it is.
If you need some support in learning how to stand strong in the face of his pushback, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll help you find faithful ways to do that. But this is really the way forward. And you have a place because you're his mom and you're the kid's grandma. So you have a place both to work for your son's good and to stick up for your grandkids. Joyce, if there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877 573-7825. Today's show titled Lean On Me, as we talk about those times when we need to help someone we care about, but we're not sure what to do to be effective, to really help them be their best without burning ourselves out in the process. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from James chapter 1, verse 5.
If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you.
This verse is really important because when we are trying to help people, and especially when it's not going well, we have a tendency to just sort of double down and keep doing what comes naturally to us. We don't remember to step back and say, okay, God, you know, this is I want to really help this person, you know, but my efforts haven't been bearing any fruit. Teach me how to respond to them in a way that will bring out the best in them, that will help me be my best and work for the good of our relationship too.
You know, and it's okay to ask for the wisdom that you need in the situation, but also while you're talking to God, ask him for the other virtues you need. Lord, give me the wisdom on how to handle this. And then once you do, show me how to be courageous. Show me how to have the fortitude to stick it out. Show me how to be kind, but still firm. Whatever those things are that you're kind of nervous about inside of yourself in addressing someone about what they need, always, always go to God. Because as James 1:5 says here, it will be given unto you.
All right, with that, we got to go to break. When we come back, more with your questions about helping the people you care about in ways that are actually helpful and healthy for you. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions right after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? The Catholic Catechism tells us the gifts of the Holy Spirit sustain us in a moral life. They are a permanent disposition, making man docile to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are seven in number: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. They are seen in their fullness in the person of Jesus Christ. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are perfections the Holy Spirit forms in us as first fruits of eternal glory. They are charity, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Lean on Me, as we talk about how to be helpful to the people we care about who really do need our help, but aren't sure necessarily what to do to bring out the best in them in ways that are helpful for them and healthy for us. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Ryan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Hey, Ryan, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, thank
Ryan,
you
are you there?
Taking my call.
Hey.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, what's
certainly.
Up?
Yes, can you hear me? Okay,
mm-hmm.
thank
Go
you
ahead.
For taking my call. looking for some really some game time advice here. I'm actually heading with my siblings. We were called by our nephew over the weekend that our brother was caught yet again in a sexual advance and has had a long history where we as the siblings are just coming to find out. But my nephew is wanting him to move off of his property. He runs a farm and my brother lives on a cabin on premises, and he's got six kids and his wife, and he just doesn't feel safe. His second wife is also leaving him as a result of this latest incident. And basically, we want to, you know, I'm looking for, you know, some advice on how to best deal with this. How, you know, we're basically being asked by our nephew to come in and help after he delivers the news that he doesn't want his father to live on his property and that he needs to get help. Us siblings are coming to sort of help with sort of the aftermath of that, if you will. And I just would like advice as to, you know, how can we best handle that? So,
okay. And Ryan, so that we're really very clear on what's happening here, is this was this advanced toward children or adults?
No, just adults, women. You know,
it's still inappropriate.
He had an affair and he had an affair with his first wife. They got divorced. She was raped. We don't think by him, but, you know, as a part of the foundation built on sand, that all fell apart. And now he's in his second marriage, and now she's leaving because of this most recent incident, which was with a healthcare worker. And the healthcare company has filed an incident report. They haven't filed, charges have been filed, but.
I understand.
Okay, but we needed to check to make sure this wasn't needing, you know, police interference because of, you know, being children. So
and is
thank
there,
you for the extra information.
Is there a place for him to go? I mean, do you have some place that you're saying, okay, we need you to get help here, or are you just saying, you know, you can't be here anymore?
Well, that's part of the question, and we don't have a specific place. My nephew's pastor, I think, was going to try to get a type of resident-type-based therapy, 3-month-type therapy, and so we've asked for that to be ready to sort of, okay, so you know, offer
okay,
him.
So you do have a place in mind that he could go.
Do that voluntarily.
Yeah, okay. Because that's really
I'm
important.
Assuming like, my nephew is going to have that.
Good, yeah. So that's really important. So when you're doing this kind of an intervention, right, there has to be some place ready for him to go. Because if there's any delay between, you know, the time when you all confront him and the time he can get into the program, then that gives him more time to just sort of talk himself out of it. So when you do an intervention, you know, it's really important that there's a bed ready to go. You know, where there's a place ready for him to go to get the treatment, because everybody sort of has to stand in unison here, and it has to be. Look, we love you, but this behavior is destroying all of us. You know, it's destroying your life. It's driving all the people that you care about away from you. It's causing you legal problems. We can't support you or this anymore. You need to get help, and here's where we need you to go. And you have a place that you can point to right away, and you're saying, you know, unless you do that, then, you know, these are the things that have to happen. You can't stay here anymore. You can't, you know, we can't support you in this way or that way. You know, and you confront that person with, you know, all the different consequences that will have to happen if they don't get the help that they need. And you have to stay calm. It has to be focused on, you know, we love you. This is how your behavior has hurt us. This is why we're asking you to do this, because we care about you and we want what's best for you, and here's where you need to go. And the place is ready for you to go now. So those are the most important steps in it. I mean, it will be ugly. But again, this is why, you know, loving somebody means working for their good. And sometimes that means upsetting them. Sometimes that means bearing the brunt of their anger. And by the way, that's what, when we talk about as Catholics redemptive suffering, that's what redemptive suffering is, right? Redemptive suffering is the suffering that's involved in doing what's necessary to grow ourselves, to become healthier, holier people ourselves, and to challenge the people we love to be healthier and holier too. When we do that, sometimes we get pushback and we suffer because people get mad at us and things get complicated. But that suffering is redemptive because as we go through it, we grow stronger and the people that we love grow stronger too. The other kind of suffering, you know, enabling or codependence, that's when we suffer for not challenging people to be healthier. We put up with their stuff. We enable them. And we suffer anyway. It just doesn't bear any fruit.
So in this case, you know, that kind of lack of fruit kind of suffering would be if everybody just said, you know, sat him down and said, you need to stop doing this, and then let him stay in place and change nothing, get him no help, not change his location, not change the status of the relationships he's in with all of you. But redemptive suffering is, it's going to be tough to put him in a program. It's going to be tough to have to draw a line if he doesn't go and make him move out, no matter, you know, where we end up putting him, but he can't be here. That's hard. He's going to be upset. You guys are going to feel badly and not want, you know, all of the relationships in the family to shift. But that's redemptive for all of you. Not only are you protecting the wife and the children on this farm, but you're also really working for his good as well. And he needs to be able to see that. So he either needs to be, you know, this needs to be set up and he needs to get in the truck today and go to the treatment facility, or he needs to go in the truck today and go to a hotel but not be on the property any longer, because something needs to radically shift. And the most important thing in this situation is the protection of the children and the wife who are on this farm and feeling frightened and unsafe. That's got to be primary.
Ryan, thank you so much for the call, and you're doing the right thing. Again, the only piece that I want to make sure is in place is that he has a place to go to get the treatment. It's not just a matter of saying, you know, you can't be here, but what are we doing with it? You know. All right, thanks so much for the call. And, you know, as we're coming into the final minutes of the program, here's one thing I really want to emphasize. A lot of times, we'll give advice, especially when it comes to setting boundaries or you know, helping somebody in ways that are actually helpful. We'll give advice that will cause the other person to be upset. And that's okay. Again, the goal here isn't upsetting them, but the goal isn't necessarily not upsetting them either. The goal is working for their good. And if they get mad, that's okay. They can be mad. Let them have their feelings. I understand that you're upset. I understand this is hard to hear. I'm really sorry about that. But that doesn't change the fact that this is the right thing. You know, you have to be strong and kind of double down on that. It's don't take it personally. You're giving them permission to have their own feelings about it. It's hard to be corrected. You know, I get mad when people correct me, and that's okay. You know, it's got nothing to do with you. I don't like to be corrected. You know, and maybe I'll get mad at you for that. But if you just, you know, look at me and say, look, Greg, I appreciate it. It's hard to hear. I'm sorry you're upset. It doesn't change the fact that you're doing something wrong and you're doing something hurtful and it needs to change. When I can calm down, I appreciate that. I can hear that. And even if I don't, I still need to hear it, you know, because that's just one more important message that I need to kind of take in, and that eventually maybe I'll come around. But either way, the people who love me have to have the courage to say what's necessary to work for my good, even if I don't want to hear it. And of course, you know, we want to try to do that charitably. We want to try to wait to be invited to do it or look for the opportunity to do it. But there are some times when my behavior is hurting other people, like the previous caller whose son's behavior was hurting his kids, or this caller, Ryan, who is dealing with his brother, who is being hurtful to the people around him. In those cases, we can't wait. We have to advocate. We have to intervene and say, look, your behavior isn't just hurting you. It's hurting everybody around you, and it has to stop. And that's, again, that's going to upset them, but that's okay. The goal here is not avoiding confrontation or avoiding conflict. The goal is working for that person's ultimate good. And sometimes that does require us to ruffle some feathers. But as long as our intentions are good, as long as we're approaching it in a measured way, in a way that's ordered to help them be their best, then we're doing the right thing. And we can't beat up on ourselves for rocking the boat, because the boat needed to be rocked. And really, that's what God's asking us to do. And when we hear things like, you know, we're God's hands, or, you know, we're his feet, you know, what that means is that God is asking us to go into the situations that we need to go into and you know, rock the boat and say things that need to be
said. We often think that just means going out and feeding the unhoused or something like that. But no, it really is about working on these relationships and always calling people to be their best self. And in that, we are helping their soul align with what God wants it to be.
And if that ultimately, if that person decides to step away from us and say, well, I'm not going to be around you anymore because you're challenging me to be my best and I don't want to be my best, well, you let them go. And if they want to come back later, you can let them back. But you have to give them that choice. That's their right. And if that relationship breaks because you are working for their good and they don't want that, then that relationship needed to break. Because they need to experience that isolation and that loneliness from the behavior that they've been engaging in. Well, again, it's complicated. So if you need more personalized support, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.